Page 104. If the people once refuse to march anyone, they will realize their dreams. The often cited political immaturity of the masses behind which party bureaucrats like to hide is in reality nothing but skepticism towards the leadership. The workers have learned that they have nothing to expect from those who called them out from time to time, only to send them home again, but more of the same, even after a victory. In the French Revolution, it took the masses 5 years to become indifferent to whether Robespierre or Barras was in power. No conclusion about the future can be drawn from a lucid apathy built on a resistance to the whole political facade. With the experience that their political will can indeed change their own lives through changing society, the apathy of the masses will disappear. Such apathy is a trait of capitalism in all of its phases. A generalizing sociology suffered from the fact that it was practiced primarily by people of the middle and upper middle classes who differentiate too conscientiously. The millions below learn through their experience from childhood on that the various phases of capitalism belong to one and the same system. Authoritarian or liberal, society for them means hunger, police control, and the draft. Under fascism, the masses are predominantly interested in seeing that the foreigners do not succeed because the dependent nation will have to undergo increased exploitation. It is precisely integral statism that still offers them hope because it hints at something better. And hope works against apathy. The concept of a transitional revolutionary dictatorship was in no way intended to mean the monopoly of the means of production by some new elite. Such dangers can be countered by the energy and alertness of the people themselves. The revolution that ends domination is as far-reaching as the will of the liberated. Any resignation is already a regression into prehistory. After the old positions of power have been dissolved, society will either govern its affairs on the basis of free agreements or else exploitation will continue. The recurrence of political reaction and a new destruction of the beginning of freedom cannot theoretically be ruled out, and certainly not as long as a hostile environment exists. No patented system worked out in advance can preclude regression. The modalities of the new society are first found in the process of social transformation. The theoretical conception which, following its first trailblazers, will show the new society its way. The system of workers' councils, growth out of praxis. The roots of the council system goes back to 1871, 1905, and other events. Revolutionary transformation has a tradition that must continue. Page 105. The future form of collective life has a chance to endure not because it will rest upon a more refined constitution, but because domination is exhausting itself in state capitalism. As a result of the praxis of state capitalism, the efficient management of production, the exchange between city and countryside, and the provisioning of the big cities no longer represent major difficulties. The control of the economy, which earlier grew out of the deceitful initiative of private entrepreneurs, consists of simply operations that can be learned just like building and operating machines. The dissolution of entrepreneurial genius is succeeded by the dissolution of the Führer's wisdom. Their function can be executed by modestly trained workers. More and more economic questions are becoming technical ones. The privileged position of administrative officers and technical and planning engineers will lose its rational basis in the future. Naked power is becoming its only justification. The awareness that the rationality of domination is already in decline when the authoritarian state takes over society is the real basis of its identity with terrorism and also with Engels' theory that prehistory comes to an end with such a state. Before it died out in the fascist countries, the Constitution was an instrument of domination. Since the French and English revolutions, it had been through constitutions that the European bourgeoisie kept its government under control and secured its property. Such a constitution today becomes the desire of minorities, since the rights of the individual could not be limited to one group but had to be formally universal. In a new society, a constitution will be of no more importance than train schedules and traffic regulations are now. How often have laws, currencies, institutions, and customs been banned, complained Dante, after the instability of the Florentine constitution, and the citizenry seen the emergence of a new form. Footnote 5, text. What was a danger for the decayed rule of the patrician families would be a characteristic trait of a classical society. The forms of free association do not merge with the system. Just as thought by itself cannot project the future, neither can it determine the point in time. According to Hegel, the stages of the Weltgeist follow one another with logical necessity, and none can be omitted. In this respect, Marx remained true to him. History is presented as an indivisible development. The new cannot begin before its time. However, the fatalism of both philosophers referred to the past only. Their metaphysical error, namely that history obeys a defined law, is cancelled by their historical error, namely that such a law has fulfilled at its appointed time. The present and past are not subject to the same law, nor does any new social period begin. Page 106. There is progress in prehistory. It governs all stages to the present. It might be said of past historical enterprises that the time was not yet ripe for them. Present talk of inadequate conditions is a cover for the tolerance of oppression. For the revolutionary, conditions have always been ripe. What in retrospect appears as a preliminary stage or a premature situation was once for a revolutionary a last chance for change. A revolutionary is with the desperate people for whom everything is on the line, not with those who have time. The invocation of a scheme of social states which demonstrates post festum the impotence of a past era was at that time an inversion of theory and politically bankrupt. Part of the meaning of theory is the time at which it is developed. The theory of the growth of the means of production, of the sequence of the various modes of production, and of the task of the proletariat is neither a historical painting to be gazed upon nor a scientific formula for calculating future events. It formulates the adequate consciousness for a definite phase of the struggle, and as such can be recognized again in later conflicts. If truth is perceived as property, it becomes its opposite and hence subject to relativism, which draws its critical elements from the same ideal or certainty as absolute philosophy. Critical theory is of a different kind. It rejects the kind of knowledge that one can bank on. It confronts history with that possibility which is always concretely visible within it. The maturity of a historical situation is the topic probandum and probatum. Also, The latter course of history confirmed the Girondists against the Montagnards and Luther against Münzer. Mankind was not betrayed by the untimely attempts of the revolutionaries, but by the timely attempts of the realists. The improvement of the means of production may have improved not only the chances of oppression, but also of the elimination of oppression. But the consequence that flows from historical materialism today, as formerly from Rousseau or the Bible, that is, the insight that now or in 100 years the horror will come to an end, was always appropriate. The bourgeois upheavals depend, in fact, on the ripeness of the situation. Their success, from the reformist to the legal revolution of fascism, were tied to the technical and economic achievements that marked the progress of capitalism. They shorten the predetermined development. The idea of midwifery fits precisely the history of the bourgeoisie. Its material forms of existence had been developed before it obtained political power. The theory of accelerated development has dominated politique scientifique since the French Revolution. Page 107. With Saint-Simon's imprimatur, Comte formulated the thought as a political guideline. It makes a great difference if one simply follows the course of history without reflection or with insight into its causal relations. Historical changes occur in both cases, but they announce themselves earlier and they happen above all only after they have, depending on their nature and significance, shaken society in an appropriately foreboding way. Footnote 6, text. The knowledge of historical laws which govern the succession of social forms for the Saint-Simonians softens the impact of the revolution, while for the Marxist it strengthens it. Both ascribe to such knowledge the function of shortening a process which completes itself autonomously and almost naturally. The revolutionary transformation, says Bebel, that changes all social relations, and in particular the role of women, is already happening before our eyes. It is only a matter of time before society undertakes this transformation on a larger scale and accelerates, generalizes the process, thereby making everyone without exception participate in its numerous and many-faceted advantages. Footnote 7, text. Thus is the revolution reduced to the intensive transition to state capitalism, which was then already announcing itself. Despite pious references to the Hegelian logic of leaps and reversals, transformation appeared essentially as an extension of scale. The first attempts at planning should be reinforced and distribution made more rational. The doctrine of midwifery degrades the revolution to mere progress. Dialectic is not identical with the development. Two contradictory moments, the transition to state control and liberation from it, are seized as one of the concept of social revolution. Revolution brings about what would happen without spontaneity in any case. The socialization of the means of production, planned management of production, and unlimited control of nature. And it also brings about what will not happen without resistance and constantly renewed efforts to strengthen freedom, the end of exploitation. Such an outcome is not a further acceleration of progress, but a qualitative leap out of the dimension of progress. The rational is never totally deductible. It is conceived everywhere in its historical dialectic as the break with class society. The theoretical arguments for the idea that state capitalism is the last stage of class society are based on the notion that the existing material conditions make possible and promote that leap. The theories from which these arguments stem indicate the objective possibilities to the conscious will. When this theory portrays the phases of bourgeois economy, bloodshed and collapse, as an imminent law of development in the transition to freedom, the notion of the self-movement of this process breaks down. Page 108. One can determine today what the leaders of the masses will inflict on the masses if both forces are not abolished. That is part of the imminent law of development. One cannot determine what a free society will do or permit. The self-movement of the concept of the commodity leads to the concept of state capitalism. Just as for Hegel, the certainty of sense data leads to absolute knowledge. For Hegel, however, the stages of the concept necessarily correspond to physical and social nature without any further hindrance. Because the concept and reality are not merely different, but because both in the end, as well as in essence, are actually the same. Materialist thought, on the other hand, should not permit itself to consider this identity as a certainty in fact. The appearance of conditions which can be inferred